Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Thin Line Believers podcast. I'm beyond excited, and we are very blessed to have this week's guest on the show. Ollie Perez is a former San Diego County Sheriff's Deputy and Detective. If you haven't heard his story, his testimony is powerful, captivating, and it's something to behold. Ollie, thanks for joining us and taking the time and being here with me today.
Right on. My pleasure, man. Super excited.
So just to kind of get started, it sounds like all this began before the actual events that really changed your life on September 25th, 2012. And it sounds like your walk with Christ was not quite as strong as it is today. And, you know, so I kind of like to start and asking you, you know, what was your belief system, you know, before everything really began?
Well, you know, I didn't grow up in the church. I wasn't raised, you know, I probably went to church from 0 to 18, maybe 4 or 5 times. I mean, we had a Bible in our house, and I remember it was Old English, King James Version. And I looked at that like 1.2 seconds and I was like, nah, that's it. And I didn't live my life according to the Word of God, and the stupid things I did as a juvenile reflected that. You know, I ended up joining the military after high school, and they said I'm in boot camp. They said, hey, we don't care where you go, but you're going somewhere on Sunday. And I didn't know anything. My parents split. I was born in Venezuela, and I was raised over in Texas, and so. Everybody in my family in Venezuela, they're all Catholic. So I started going to Catholic church in boot camp, and I didn't know the first thing about church, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. I didn't have any understanding. So I was hearing everything, but I didn't have an understanding of what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so then later on, fast forward, I meet my wife, her family's Catholic. And so I kind of gravitated toward going to Catholic church. But again, that didn't, you know, I was hearing it and not understanding. And then, you know, when we had kids and I knew that I wanted to, one, I believed in God, and two, I believed, you know, that there was Jesus, and I didn't understand fully what it meant for His sacrifice for us. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted my kids to know about God, so I put them in Catholic school. And what ended up happening is about in 2002, 2003, there was that big scandal that broke out on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And I used that as an excuse to walk away from the church. And I was like, you know what? I'm grown. God knows I believe in Him. That's good enough. And I left it at that. And what happens is when you let go of the Lord's hand, you know, He's the way, the truth, and the life. And when you let go of His hand, you're choosing death, mm-hmm. spiritual death, emotional death, physical death, relational death, and every conceivable aspect. Now, my life didn't blow up overnight, you know, but over from 2002 to 2009, it was a slow and steady decline. And, you know, when I started on the sheriff's department, I had a stellar work reputation. But I can tell you, by 2009, I was burnt out. I hated people. I was in the I hate everybody, I hate people phase. Mm-hmm. My home life was in ruins, everything financially, personally, professionally. And I had gone from golden boy to nobody wants to hang out with. Mm. And, you know, and in that decline, and And I reached a point in my life, you know, where I was like, okay, I am broken and everything is a mess. And I know that I need God.
Right.
And I had a friend invite me to this church in San Diego in Point Loma. It's called the Rock Church, and the pastor is Miles McPherson. And I go there, and I'll never forget, because this was in July of 2009. And I go there, and I listen to him speak for about an hour, and I learned more in 1 hour than I had in 7 years at the Catholic Church. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not bagging on the Catholic Church. I'm talking about my faith walk, okay?
Right.
I was lazy previously. I didn't put any effort into my faith. And, you know, my preparation was what I call woefully inadequate. I dropped my kids off and I expected that the school to teach my kid. And I expected somebody else to do it. And I thought it was just going to work out great when I put no effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not their fault that I never picked up a Bible and read. It's not their fault that I didn't, you know, get, you know, open my mind and say, okay, let's dig into what it means to study the Word of God. But, you know, that's where I started, and I just was disconnected. Then what happens is, because I neglected my family responsibilities, my family suffered. I wasn't leading my kid. I wasn't leading my family to God. I wasn't leading my kids to the Lord. I wasn't praying, you know, regularly. I wasn't teaching my kids the Word of God. I wasn't praying over my family, our relationship, nothing. And so when everything just unraveled by 2009, it was such a mess that it was like down to the last straw. And when I went to the Rock in 2009, and I heard him speak, and I was just set on fire. I felt like I was a human torch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got set on fire for the Lord in 2009, and I was I, you know, God was so patient with me. I was 38 at the time, about to be 39, and it takes me till I'm 39, and I don't want all the new listeners out there, the new police officers and deputies out there, to wait till you're 39 to get right with the Lord. It'll save you a whole bunch of pain, suffering, and misery
mm-hmm.
if you get right early. Please,
yeah,
take that
that's good.
Step. Please take that step. Don't be like me. Don't wait till you're 39 to get right with the Lord.
Right.
And so I was set on fire, and I said, okay, not only is this going to be my home base, this is going to be my church, this is where I'm going to go to school, this is where I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to bring my kids here. I'm going to bring my wife here. I'm going to bring my family here. I'm going to take my kids out of public school and put them in this little teeny tiny school that they had, you know, K through 12 with maybe 100 people and the whole thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to just set on fire. Now, again, I was at the low point in my career, and I was working at the courthouse because I'd spent 5 years in the jails, and I spent 10 years in patrol, and then I did gang suppression, and then back to patrol, and then community policing, and I was just done. I was just burnt out.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the low point, and I remember while I was there, I interviewed for 5 different jobs and tried to promote. I was overqualified for every job, and I kept getting passed over. And I missed promotion by like a tenth of a point or something crazy like that, but I missed it. I didn't get promoted. And so I was there, and I was really frustrated, and I'm like, I cannot believe. And I knew what it was down deep, because I knew it was my award-winning personality had come, my award-winning personality had come back to haunt me. You know, and they're like, nah, no thanks, man. And I don't have anybody to blame but myself. I'm not crying about it. And so I remember telling my wife, Gracie, and I said, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to take the opportunity. And while I was at the courthouse, there was some downtime in between the inmate movement that I could read the Bible. So I started reading the Bible at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, you get a little 10 minutes here or there, and I'd crack the book open. I read it at lunch, whatever. And I just started getting into the Word. And I can tell you that's when the transformation took place. I got a phone call out of the blue from a supervisor that I didn't know, that I never worked with. I worked with his brother, but I never worked with him. And he said, hey, Ollie, man, I want you to put in for child abuse. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I'm the guy for that. You know, I've gravitated toward kids my whole career, but I did it through youth sports, whether it was Little League or football, primarily football. From Pop Warner to high school, I was coaching. And so that's kind of how I spent my time mentoring the kids that way, through youth sports. But I never considered child abuse because the subject matter is really rough.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I got the patience to sit across the table with a guy and not come across the table and, you know, punch him in the face or even worse. And I, but you know, you don't get too many calls like that in your career. When somebody calls and says, hey, we want you to put in for this, you just do it, you know, whether you like it or not. So I remember, okay, I was, you know, God opened that path for me. And because remember, I'm at the low point in my career. I'm not the shining star that I was a few years back. I'm just, you know, just treading the water, getting by, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm there and I'm studying for the test. And I tell my wife, Grace, I said, okay, look, this is the last job interview I'm doing. If I don't get this, then I'm going to stay here at the courthouse. I'm going to go back to law school. I'm going to go to school. Then I'm going to go to law school because I'm watching these attorneys. And you know what? Quite frankly, it's not that hard. And they make a lot more money and they get weekends and holidays off.
Right.
So that was the kind of like the game plan and the joke. So, you know, I prepped the best I could for the interview and I went and I did the process and I was competing against 14, 15 other detectives that had way more experience than I had. And, but I went in there and put my best effort forward, but it wasn't anything I did. It was all God and I'm giving him the credit. I get the job. And you know, the longer I look back at it, the more amazing it is because I've been with the sheriff's bar. I joined in 94. And even though I'm retired, but for the last 25 years now, I've been associated with the San Diego County Sheriff's Department. You can go back in that 25-year history. Nobody in those last 25 years has ever gone from the courthouse to child abuse or homicide. It just hasn't happened. I'm the only one in 25 years. So, again, it was not because I'm awesome. It's because God's awesome. He opened that door for me. Mm-hmm. And even a blind man could recognize that one. So when I got to child abuse, you know, you get your county ride and everything. So I started on my commute, I started praying and just talking to the Lord. And I'd say, okay, Lord, am I where you want me to be? Mm-hmm. Am I doing the job you want me to do? I want to be obedient, Lord. I said, but you know me. I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn. And when I get mad, I don't play well with anybody. I don't take direction well. and you know, I flame out gloriously. So please help me. It's not that I'm afraid of being obedient. What I'm afraid is that when you talk to me, Lord, I'm going to miss it. So when you communicate with me, Lord, could you use, you know, make a big giant sign, 3-foot letters, preferably single syllable words, and just so I don't miss it when you communicate with me.
Right.
And then also, if I wasn't in prayer on the way to work, then I would listen to 1210 KPRZ down here in San Diego County, and it was. And I would either listen to the word or pray. And I remember specifically that there was a section about making yourself available for the kingdom of God. And so I remember pulling into work and I said, okay, God, I'm not proud. I'll sweep the floor. I'll take out the trash. But if you could use me for the kingdom in the smallest way, I'm at your service.
Mm-hmm.
And then he answered that prayer like nobody's business 2 years later.
Wow.
And so it's just amazing as I look back over the years. I look back and I see that God's hand had really, 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 you know, I'd come to the breaking point, and then he just set me on fire back in you know, July of 2009. And then by August of 2010, I was doing the impossible.
Right.
And it never stopped to amaze me. I'm amazed at it every time that, you know, he would take me at my worst, and transform me to my best. And And that's all God. Because I know that, and I know that your listeners, whether you got one day or you got 25 years, at some point you're going to experience the highs and lows, and I'm preaching to the choir. You guys have all seen it. It's no different just because I'm down here, down south. But I was really, really, really transformed and saved by the grace of God. And I want to share that with you guys because it's the utmost importance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know where your listeners are in their faith walk, but I can tell you this, without jumping too far ahead, I would be dead as a doornail without Jesus. And you need Jesus to get through your job. You guys all know this. You run through the sewer all day and you come home and you smell like the sewer, except it sticks onto your soul and no amount of soap and water can wash it off.
Amen.
And you need the spiritual cleansing that only Jesus can give you. To give you your compass, to give you your moral compass, to give you a baseline, to give you the protection, and to protect you and watch over you as you do his work on the ground. And I just want to emphasize that because if I could spare a couple of you from taking the hard path, that would be awesome. Don't wait till you're burned out, pissed off, and angry at the world and nobody wants to work with you to realize you need the Lord. Go to him early. And you don't need to take a bath when you go to the Lord. Go there dirty with all your funk, because we all got it.
That's
we
right.
all got mess. There's not a single one of us that doesn't have junk. Just go there with all your junk, lay it at his feet, and say, Lord, I need a bath.
Right.
Watch the transformation that will happen in your life.
Amen to that. And that's why Adam, who's my partner here with this podcast, and I started this, was to reach those that otherwise weren't being reached, and to bring stories like yours to the table and to the forefront, so that guys know when they find themselves in that deep, that dark valley, that the Lord is there and that the Lord can deliver you out of that, no matter how dark and deep that looks at the time.
Right.
So I think what we'll do is we'll pause at this point in the podcast, and I'm going to have Ollie come back another couple times for a couple more podcasts here to share more of his story and to really get into the dirtness, without putting it in a different way, of what really brought him to where he is today. So thank you, Ollie, and we'll get back at it, and I'm excited to hear more of your story.
Right on, man. My pleasure. You guys be safe.